This is the World Today Weekend on CKNW News Talk 980.
Welcome back. I'm Marcella Bernardo filling in for Sean Leslie. School is now officially out for the summer, but there's a lot of talk this time of year about the relative costs and benefits of doing away with such a long gap in the school year. Does it make sense to eliminate the two-month summer break? Ian Cook joins us now. He's the Director of Research and Learning for the BC Human Resources Management Association, representing human resources professionals across British Columbia. Thank you for joining us.
A pleasure.
So I read your column in the newspaper yesterday about the changing of the school calendar and why it makes sense to get rid of the summer break.
Yep.
So
what did you think?
Well, I as someone who was a former student looking forward to having those 2 months off, I really do feel like, oh, come on, give the kids that summer break. But you made some really strong arguments about the need for maybe giving kids a shorter break throughout the year so that they don't lose everything, because I do remember the anxiety in September of not remembering everything that I learned in June.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the argument can go back and forth on both sides. I think, as we also said in the article, there's no cut and dried right answer, which I think is what makes this more challenging as a decision. But what we're looking at from we look really through the employer lens. We work with the people side of business and understand the impacts that they're going through. Very few organizations slow down in the summer any longer. So when you build a population that are used to kind of having the summer off effectively, be it 10 weeks or 2 months over the summer, that expectation, if it's repeated all the way through the first 20 years of their schooling, doesn't actually match where an organization is at. So there's a huge shift when you actually get into real work from that piece. And there's also, I was talking to a few parents about this, and they identify that their kids are exhausted when they get to summer because there's just so much pressure and intensity on the short time frame that they're actually in school. So, you know, it's all about balance, but it doesn't seem Canada, that North America are one of the last kind of northern hemisphere economies to maintain this summer break. It was put in place to help with the harvest. There are lots of, you know, I can see lots of people going, oh, I'll be sad to let it go. But there's lots of good reasons why a change may actually be better for the kids, better for the parents who then have to run around all summer trying to work out how to keep their kids busy whilst they have a two-week vacation in the middle of summer.
And you just mentioned that it was originally because of the harvest and how, you know, the longer hours in the summer were the time when children were able to help the family. I don't see a lot of farmers in the lower mainland of Vancouver, and that argument seems to be gone now. And the provincial government, as you mentioned in your article, they have made a move towards letting individual school districts figure out what best plan works for them. So do you see a movement in which we're going to see more and more school districts changing the format depending on whether parents agree with it?
Yeah, I think it opens up the debate, and I think it's a healthy debate. If I look at the history of the 2 months, you know, a lot has changed in that time. First of all, kids no longer help with the harvest, but also, you know, predominantly both parents are now working. So if you know, one parent was working and somebody's at home, not so tough when it comes to that long summer break. But now, predominantly because of economic drivers, the challenge we have, the capacity for more women to enter into the workplace as well. You know, there's a positive side there. I know a number of my colleagues, and you know, I'm amongst them myself, when that summer break adds a whole heightened level of stress. And so I think engaging with parents, engaging with kids to kind of say, how do we actually get a better, smoother balance through the year is the right thing to be doing.
Do you see any kind of backlash from people who say, if you can't afford to hire someone to take care of your kids in the summer, don't have kids?
No. I might do, but I hope I wouldn't listen to it for very long.
Because it seems, you know, you see some of that kind of attitude of people who just don't want change, and you hear it, I've heard it, where people have said, well, don't have children if you can't afford to have children. And that seems to be the message that they're putting out there, and it doesn't make any sense to me when you, like you pointed out, there seems to be a good argument being made for having shorter breaks for the kids so that they can keep whatever they've learned in their mind, and then as well, like you said, for the parents, make it easier for them to not have to worry about daycare year-round.
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides of it. If I focus the first piece on the actual kids, you know, most of Europe, Australia, they shifted. I think they, you know, initially they would have had a longer summer break, but they shifted a good 10, 15 years ago to a 5 to 6 week break. And there is, in learning, I have a learning background. That's kind of the way I grew into the HR profession. You know, there's a need to learn, put some pressure on, have some rest. So there's definitely a need to have that cycle. But there's also the whole switch-off component where 8 weeks, even 10 weeks. I was talking to one parent where because of how exams fell, it was effectively 12 weeks that their child was not in a learning environment. That's a really long time. And so you learn a habit, then all of a sudden you fall out of it again, and then you have to go relearning. I don't think that's beneficial just in terms of helping people attain the skills and the attitudes and the mindset that really help them be successful in the future world of work.
Okay, Ian, we're going to have to leave it at that because we're running out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure, Michelle. Thank you.
We're going to break again for the news with Laura Bazouk, and when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your calls. What do you think about this? Do you think that the school year should be extended so that parents have an easier go of it and students are able to keep whatever they have in their minds a little bit longer as opposed to having 10 weeks off in the summer?
This is the World Today Weekend on CKNW News Talk 980.
I'm Marcella Bernardo, filling in for Sean Leslie. We've opened up the phone lines to take your calls on anything we've talked about this afternoon. Lots of interesting topics. We've talked about the possible sale of the liquor services distribution branch. It sounds like, or distribution facilities. It sounds like the government may be backtracking on that now. So interested to see what people think about that. Also, the Portman Bridge advertising campaign. Do you think it's worth it to spend $400,000 telling people about something that they pretty much already knew about? We had some interesting discussions about Twitter and natural gas pipeline ruptures and the changing school calendar. If you have some ideas about what you think we should be doing with the school year, you can give us a call, 604-280-9898, or toll free at 1-877-399-9898. And we've got a call here from Teresa in Burnaby. You wanted to talk about the school calendar issue.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the fact that I think that changing the school calendar affects more than just the students forgetting their material and, you know, parents having an easier time with the daycare and that sort of thing. I think that we have to consider that taking the summer vacation away from the school calendar affects a lot of other things, like the summer programs that rec centers put on for children. That would probably affect their jobs in a lot of ways, where they, you know, during the summer, a lot of kids go to these programs, and also students who need to work in order to get money for university and that sort of thing, or maybe even help with the family finances. When you split the calendar up 2 weeks here and 2 weeks there, it would be very difficult for them to be able to get any sort of job.
How quickly do you think something like this could happen, though? Because we've talked about how there are people that are reluctant to change, and I don't see a lot of school districts immediately jumping to change the current calendar because of some of the items that you mentioned, that there's summer programs, students need to have summer jobs. Do you think that this is something that we're going to be seeing happening quickly?
I haven't really thought about that too much, but I don't see it happening too quickly, because some of these things, these issues do have to be dealt with and thought about carefully before any kind of change.
Oh, we've lost Teresa.
Oh.
There you go. We got you back.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just saying that I think that there has to be a lot of consideration on about all of these different things that will affect the calendar and other areas of students' jobs and that sort of thing. You have to think about all of those things carefully before any change is made. So I don't think anything will happen that quickly, but there are some school districts apparently that are considering it.
Okay, Teresa. Well, thank you for your thoughts. Okay, we're going to go to Mike from Vancouver. He's going to be talking about the school calendar again. Now, Mike, what are your thoughts?
Hi, good afternoon, Marcel. Yeah, well, as in Vancouver, I chair our management and coordinating committee, who's been examining this issue for the last couple of years. We We asked our superintendent, Steve Carver, to do a bit of research on the whole concept, which is in the literature is typically called balanced school calendar. And he did a research search. And what the research basically shows is that the year-round calendar can really be helpful for students who are vulnerable students. For other students, the research is inconclusive and shows no difference in terms of usefulness or utility. The big issue that we've been finding, so what our superintendent has been doing is talking to our principals in our schools about the concept with a view to see if there's any interest in this. And our view is that if there's a groundswell of interest from the community and the staff and the students, we'd be prepared to look at it as an option and a choice. Up to this point in time, there's been no groundswell. There's been some schools that are showing some interest in it. But I think the cultural factors you've been hearing about are the most significant ones. The change of the school year, the summer being gone, kids not being able to work, the impact on heating in the summertime and lack of air conditioning in our schools, what happens to sports tournaments during the summer, et cetera. So a lot of these cultural factors, which are societal factors, are usually the biggest issues I always hear about when I talk about year-round schooling. So our view is this. If a community wants to go for it, we'll consult them and make sure there's support for it across the community and consider implementing it. But to this point in time in Vancouver with 110 schools, we've had no outpouring of support other than a few schools saying, yeah, we'd like to talk about it and have a dialogue about it.
Having said that, Mike, how quickly can something like this happen? Because the government's given you the freedom to do it.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, it can happen in 1 year. The way the School Act is written is every before May 31st of any given year, the school board has to adopt a calendar. And if you don't adopt a local calendar, then you have a provincial calendar. So it's a year-long process. As long as we make the announcement before May 31st, 2013, we could implement it as September. So it could be done within a school year. You need to obviously do some significant consultation. You got to have a real sense of support from the community, but you could do it within a year.